Here we are. Happy New Year. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be a good one. Yep, I tell you. Yes. So today, I wanted to come back to the subject of all of the messages that we've had during this season and today with this one. Of course, last night we had Pastor Bill talking to us about prophecy. It was very exciting, very wonderful job that he did. And Revelation 19:10 says, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so that's been a kind of a theme for us and so forth. So we're going to look at some more prophecy today and some current events that tie into these things. And hopefully you'll be blessed with this. So let's take a look at Ezekiel 36:34. Boy, that sounds like hike after 36:34 hike. Yeah. Okay, Ezekiel 36:34. And here we are. So, just to let you know some things that are said in the Old Testament, 500 to 700 years before Jesus was even born. And this is talking about the return of Israel to the land. And that's been happening, as we know, beginning in the late 1800s, and the Zionist movement got rolling. And so we read verse 24 of Ezekiel 36. It says, "For I will take you from among the heathen of the nations and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." So that's a precious promise that God has made to the nation of Israel, that they would be taken from the nations and gathered to you out of all the countries around the world and will bring you to your own land. Now let's look at verse 30 on this subject. It says, "I will multiply the fruit of the tree." I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And my, has God ever worked on this and has done this in this time just before the end times, or right here in the end times, that actually Israel has planted 240 million trees in the time from the beginning of the Zionist movement until now. I got this number off the internet last night, so it's up to date, 240 million trees, 1,000 parks. Wow. 1,000 parks have been built in this little tiny country, just a little smaller than New Jersey, the size of San Bernardino County. And these have come. Now, I want to share with you in this that if you would like to plant a tree in Israel to bless them, you can get on the internet to the JNF, which is the Jewish National Fund. And for $18, they will plant a tree in Israel after your name. Isn't that wonderful? And so very neat thing you can do. In fact, one of the trips that our church took a few years back, they planted some trees there in Israel, and we had a plaque on the wall for a while. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it is a plaque saying that we planted some trees in Israel. Now, let's go on to verse 36, okay, verse 36. And it says, "Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, have built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it." I love this. I've spoken it, and I will do it. And so it gets done. When the Lord promises it, it gets done. It's as simple as that. And it's so good to have a God like this, and to be able to read words in the Bible and know that these things are going to happen, because God says, "I will do it." Now, I wanted to show you some pictures of the trees in Israel, these 240 million trees. Sometimes when you picture the Middle East, you picture the sandbox. You know, the Marines used to call Iraq the sandbox, because there's a lot of sand over there. And you might picture that for the Holy Land. But look at this. This is the whole forest. This used to be a swamp. And Israel drained it, planted it. It's beautiful this day. Next one, bro. This is the Eskol Forest planted by the JNF, the Jewish National Fund. Yeah, this was planted by them. And that is just such a beautiful picture, isn't it, of the trees and the hills in Israel. Okay, next one. Now, this is the tomb along the road. And this is one of our personal pictures from our last trip here in November, discovered while building the road through Carmel. So this is at the top, going to the top of Mount Carmel. You can see the shrubbery on the top of the hill. And there's a tomb with the stone with it. Now, the garden tomb doesn't have a stone. And it's because there's nobody in that tomb. He's alive! And so they don't need a stone, right? But it was neat to be able to see a stone like the one that was designed for the tomb of Jesus also. And to see that was really a great blessing. That's from the bus on the way up to Mount Carmel. Okay, next one. You can see the beautiful shrubbery here. This is a statue of Elijah slaying the priests of Baal. This is at the top of Mount Carmel. And next one. Now, this is the apex or the top, the peak of Mount Carmel. And so there's this structure built there, and we're out on the balcony overlooking. And from this way, that you can't see in the picture, you could see the Valley of Armageddon. Oh, yeah. And a airfield with F-16s right there. Oh, they're ready. And so this was really something, because you can see the layer and layer of hills with trees on them. 240 million trees. And so that's what God has done. Faithfulness of the Lord, I've spoken it, and I will do it. So it gets done. There you are. All right. Now, let's go on to chapter 37 of Ezekiel and verse 21. Of Ezekiel 21, and the Lord says this, thus say unto them. Now this is after the valley of bones is revealed to Ezekiel. And you know the story about how there's all these skeletons that rise up out of graves, and then they rise up, they start walking around, and then the Lord puts flesh on them. And this is a sign and a vision that God gave to Ezekiel to let them know. Verse 21, I say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, and so here it is again, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And fulfilling that promise, and it will continue until he does a full work. Oh, the Lord, what he starts, he finishes. Now with that, let's go on to Ezekiel 38 in the first 9 verses. So we go to Ezekiel 38. Now, a little current event to share is that Vladimir Putin, the leader of Israel, has just this... Russia, I'm sorry. Russia, yes, thank you. Oh, I'm mixed up today. Okay, so Russia has made an agreement with Iran. And that was done this year. And it's historical because there's never been a military agreement between Russia and Iran. And this was made this year. And so this is something the Bible scholars take note of, because that is moving toward what we're going to read here. That actually Russia will attack Israel, allied with Iran. And we can see that developing almost every day in the news. And so this is why the Bible scholars get excited about this thing. At the end of this year, just a week ago, President Obama has really allowed a resolution in the UN to go through that condemns Israel and recommends sanctions on Israel. And this is another revolutionary event in the current events, because no American president has ever done that before. I think back to wonderful Harry Truman. I fell in love with Harry Truman. Well, he actually put the Medal of Honor on Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss is what the latest movie from our famous guy that did The Passion. What's his name? Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's latest movie is called Hacksaw Ridge, and it is the story of Desmond Doss, the Congressional Medal of Honor winner. It's a true story, and I fell in love with this guy a long time ago. I'm getting off track now, but he actually never fired a shot in World War II, but he got the Congressional Medal of Honor for saving 75 fellow army guys during a battle where he went up on the hill alone. The other medic was too scared to go, and dragged 75 dying men off the hill to save their lives. And Harry Truman was the one that put it around his neck. Harry Truman was the president that was responsible for talking the UN into allowing Israel to become a nation. He had a very good friend that owned a haberdashery in New York, and his good friend, he would meet with him, and he just was persuaded, he said, through his friend, you know, we need to help Israel. And so that is a good thing, because those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. So Harry Truman, with the UN, did a good thing, and now Obama has taken that away. And we're hoping that President Trump, to be here in 3 weeks, will reverse that, because he's a friend with Israel. Did I share this with you already? When we were in Israel just a month ago, Netanyahu, who is the leader of Israel, came on the TV. And this was election day. Sherry and I and the rest of the group that went to Israel actually voted before we left. We did absentee ballots. And so we didn't miss the election, but we're told what happened in the election when we were in Israel. And I was watching TV in Israel, and Netanyahu came on the air, and he said, I want to congratulate my good friend Donald Trump for winning the election. And his hands were going. He was so passionate about it, and he said, you know, I've already been invited to the White House. And he was so excited about that. He says, I'll be going to the White House to talk to President Trump as soon as he becomes president. And I thought, hallelujah, somebody that likes Israel, you know, along with the rest of us. So, you know, it's like, well, Pastor Bill was saying last night, it's so true. You know, we don't want to be cursed, do we? No. Let's go with Harry Truman. Please. And President Trump hopefully can fix this thing. So there you are. Now, with that, let's read now about Russia, because Russia has made this agreement with Iran, and that's moving closer to this. Okay, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. Now, Gog is not listed in the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10, because Gog is a spiritual entity. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Gog is this spirit that's assigned to these attacking forces that will be attacking Israel. Gog is mentioned here, and also in Revelation, when the devil himself comes against the people of God, Revelation chapter 20. And so this is a spiritual entity over the land of Magog. Now, Magog is listed. Magog is listed in the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. And you know, everyone, and I mean everyone, agree that this is Russia. This is the land of Russia. Even Voltaire. Now, Voltaire was a writer in France, and he was the head of the atheist movement. He was so against the Lord. Oh my. And he wrote several books and became very famous. If you're an English major of any kind, my wife was, you got to read a lot of Voltaire. Anyway, when he died, he was in extreme agony on his bed because he was so against the Lord. I mean, you don't want to be against the Lord when you die. Oh, no. And so he began to scream and to yell and really give the nurses a headache. But that's the way he went out. And I think in contrast to Jack Snow, now a lot of you know Jack Snow. He used to sit right there with his wife right about, used to give the announcements here at church, but he's now passed away. Pastor Bill did his funeral. And, you know, I was talking to Marcy on the phone, and she was just going on and on about how wonderful the last day of Jack's life was. The day before the last day, he was struggling to breathe, and it was really upsetting Marcy. His wife of, is it 70 years, 72 years, they were married. But just feeling for her dear husband and having a hard time breathing, well, she was almost dreading the next day, you know, it'd be worse and so forth. And she came into him the next day and just held his hand. He was totally at peace. And he, through the day, it took him all day to pass away. He didn't pass away till the evening. But that whole day, he was in total peace. And that's the way a Christian goes. Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on. You know, Lord, make this easy, will you? You know, his burden, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, you know. And he was just so at peace. And he just breathed his last breath and slipped off into eternity. What a contrast between him and Voltaire. But you know what? Even Voltaire said that Magog was Russia in his writings. Then also one other thing, I read a deal on this once. That's why I'm giving you these things, to establish the fact that Magog is Russia. When they built the China Wall, the people that built the China Wall actually wrote in their histories they were building the wall to protect them from Magog. And what is exactly north of the China Wall? Russia. And that's what they built that wall for. And so this is very well established in histories and from believers and Bible scholars as well as non-believers. And so the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, Hal Lindsey, I read this book years ago called The Late Great Planet Earth. It was a commentary on Revelation. I mean, on this situation, plus Revelation. But anyway, he said that Meshach is the beginnings of Moscow, and Tubal, the Russian city of Tobolinsk. So there's different opinions on that. But I do respect Hal Lindsey and others like him that write, and it just depends on who you read, you know. But there's a possibility there, the chief prince of Moscow and Tobolinsk, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into your jaws. Now, Russia is represented by a bear, and so you can picture a big bear, and the Lord putting hooks in the jaw of this bear and dragging this bear down to attack Israel. So this is of the Lord. This is God wrapping things up is what it is. And so he will be somehow forced almost into making that move. It's because it's what's in his heart. It's what's in their heart in Russia. They want to get more lands. They want to conquer areas. They want to become the kingpin, the head of the pyramid, the big cog in the wheel, the great big banana. You know, all those things are just in human nature. And so Putin is no different. And so the Lord's going to turn them back and put hooks in their jaws. And I will bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And now the allies of Russia are listed right here. And this is what makes this deal that happened this year with Iran and Russia so important. Persia is listed first as an ally of Russia, and Persia is Iran. It's ancient Iran. Ethiopia, or actually Ethiopia in the times of Bible prophecy included Sudan. Yeah, so it could be Sudan. Sudan is a highly terrorist nation, has housed terrorists. Israelis actually blew up a gun arms shipment going through Khartoum on the way to give Palestinians missiles to shoot at Israel. A lot going on there. So the Sudan and parts of Ethiopia, as the Lord knows, and Libya. Now Libya is where Benghazi is. Benghazi is, they made a movie about this recently. It was a good movie. I forget, is it R? I don't go to R movies, but this one I made an exception because it was just blood and guts and not sex and all that stuff. So I'm okay with blood and guts. Anyway, Benghazi is the city where our ambassador lost his life, and those other guys, unprotected there in Benghazi. And so yeah, there we have some kind of current events connected here. Okay, Iran, Sudan, Libya, where Gaddafi used to rule, but now Libya has become just who knows who. And Benghazi, situation was there. Okay, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Now Gomer, nobody really knows who Gomer is. Gomer Pyle, maybe. No. But anyway, my first readings in the commentaries about Gomer was the area of the Black Sea, which on the top of the Black Sea is Ukraine. We have Georgia there. When we're saying nowadays, do you mean Georgia in the south or Georgia in Russia? That's the famous Georgia now. It's on the Black Sea. And at the bottom of the Black Sea is Turkey, which is the next name mentioned. So it could be peoples in the area of the Black Sea. I've heard Germany, different things. We don't know for sure. But anyway, Gomer's coming. Gomer is in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10. Now it says, so Gomer and his bands and the house of Togarma. Everybody knows that this is Turkey. No mistake. Togarma is Turkey. And you'll remember that Turkey actually was friendly with Israel for a long time. They did war games together. But of late, in the past few years, Turkey has become so very Muslim affected, so much so that they've turned their hearts away from Israel. And there were five pastors about 5 years ago that were martyred in Turkey, Christian pastors martyred there. And this wasn't long ago. And so they're going to be coming too. And of course, Turkey is on the bottom of the Black Sea, so they're to the north also. And so it says, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee, be thou prepared, Israel, prepare for yourself, you and all the company that are assembled unto thee, be thou on guard unto them. For after many days you shall be visited in the latter years. So this is an end times event. And we're told right here in the Bible, all those years before Jesus was born, and Ezekiel was around 500 BC, no, 586 BC. So that reaches to the 500s, but then, in that area. So let's just use 586 BC. So Ezekiel prophesying from Babylon. And so here it says that many days you shall be visited in the latter years. You shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. Now, this just became very important to me last night. Pastor Bill was sharing. The mountains of Israel they're actually located in the spot where the UN wants to make it a Palestinian state. The mountains, that's where they are. Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. And so, what that says to you is, man, the devil, he's trying to get land away from Israel, but he wants to take the important land. The land that's written in the Bible by God himself through Ezekiel, the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. Because, like the Marines used to call Iraq the sandbox, man, for a long time, Israel was a sandbox. All the trees were destroyed by marauding attackers, the armies that came through there. And boy, the place was actually a wasteland, and there were swamps. I showed you where a swamp used to be and the trees there. But anyway, and so this land, which has always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Boy, whenever I read that, I thought a desert storm, 1991. With the attack of Kuwait and Saddam Hussein's hold on Kuwait as we went to free Kuwait. It was called Desert Storm, you know. So I go, well, Lord, you're using language that we used to, or maybe we're using language that he uses. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your bands and many people with you. So now I'd like to skip over to verse 13. And kind of approach some things that we have questions about usually. Okay, so it says, now Sheba and Dedan. Now these are in Saudi Arabia, and the merchants of Tarshish. Tarshish is England or Spain. They argue over that. But anyway, Jonah, when he was running from the Lord, because the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, which was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and prophesied to them, he got in a ship bound for Tarshish. So he's headed for England, and it's because England swings like a pendulum do. No, sorry, that was a joke. Anyway, that's an old song. Anyway, so he's going to Tarshish, and they find out he's running from God, so they throw him overboard. He's swallowed by the big fish, and many people believe it's a whale. It just says fish in the text, and the fish comes and throws him up on the beach, probably back in the Israeli area. And so then the Lord comes to him again and says, we're going to Nineveh, right? Right. I want to go through that again. So Tarshish. Now, some people believe that this is where the United States is mentioned. But as Pastor Bill said last night in a study, I thought it was so good. When someone comes to us and says, is the United States in Bible prophecy? The answer is yes and no. Because, and Bill used the reason that, you know, it says that all nations, this is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, all nations will be gathered against Israel, including the United States. And hopefully that's at the end of the tribulation period and not before that. We're hoping Trump can reverse this thing. You know, if Trump can't reverse this thing, then we qualify as all nations because it was unanimous. This Security Council resolution was passed unanimously, meaning there was nobody left to not include this ridiculous thing of getting on Israel's case, anti-Semitism. And it's all about, really, the devil trying to get rid of Israel. And so, wow, the United Nations, I really think that they should move to Bangladesh and set up their headquarters there and pay for it themselves. That's my opinion. Oh, man. Anyway, it's not worth much, my opinion. And so all the young lions therewith. So saying that actually this could be the colonies from England or Spain, and include the United States. So, you know, speculation. So we have Saudi Arabia, Sidon, Dedan, Tarshish with England, Spain, then the Young Lions, United States. This is the foreign policy of these places that are mentioned here. They shall say unto you, to this attacking army, are you come to take a spoil? And if you take the SP off, it's oil. Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? And so it sounds like wishy-washy, you know, diplomacy. What are you doing? Lining up your troops along the borders there, you know. And we just, you know, we just wanted to ask the question, what are you going to do next, you know, instead of taking a strong hand. And that's what's going to happen. So whenever this does happen, it doesn't look like there's going to be any world diplomacy to stop these guys. And this is something that's going to be powerfully big. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus says the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, you shall you not know it? And you shall come from your place out of the north parts, Russia, Turkey, Gomer, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Someone once said in one of my, I listened to a lot of people on this and read things about it, that actually Russia is the only nation in the world that still has a cavalry. I'll have to look into that. And so riding horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be, now this is really important, because in verse 16 it doesn't say latter years anymore. In verse 8 it said latter years. It says latter days. And you know, when I think, this is my opinion, when days start happening is the tribulation period. Okay, because when Antichrist walks in to the temple and declares himself to be God, it says there's 1,000, this is Daniel chapter 12, almost the last verse, that there'll be 1,290 days until Jesus comes. 1,290 days. So that would be the last days. Yeah, the last days. We've got the last years, but we have the last day. So this is letting us know that this battle will take place somewhere. It has something to do with the tribulation period, the last 7 years of history. And there's another scripture in chapter 39 that could point to the fact that it's at the beginning of the tribulation period because of 7 years of burying the weapons from this battle. And so in order to bury the weapons for 7 years, you got to have 7 years. And so, if it starts at the beginning of the last 7 years, then they'll be done at the end. So there you go. It's just, using your brains. Anyway, so in the latter days, I will bring you against your land that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Now verse 18 says, it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord, my fury shall come up in my face. Oh man, you don't want to make God mad. Did you ever get in a little spat with the Lord? Oh man, it's not smart. You don't want to make him mad. Because when he gets mad and his fury comes up in his face, you know how it is when somebody's getting mad. You see it on Fox News all the time. Everybody loses it on there. That's why I can't watch it too much, just a little bit. I said, oh man, it's getting strifeful again, dear. I'm going to have to change to The Mummy Returns or something. No, anything. But I mean, they just, people get ticked. And so it comes up in his face. So his cheeks are going to get red. You know that sight when you see somebody getting mad, their cheeks get red, the fury's coming up in their face, they're about ready to lose it, and their neck gets veins. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. So this is the kind of thing, and this is going to happen to God. I mean, you don't know that it could happen to God, but we're told here that it does. His fury comes up in his face, and he is thrilled with these guys. He's going to take care of business. And so it's really important to be on his side. Whoever blesses Israel, God will bless. Whoever curses Israel, God will curse. And so this army, God's going to take care of. It says in verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. He's the Lord. They're going to know it. And verse chapter 39, then it says, therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause you to come up from the north parts, and will bring you upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite your bow. Now Chuck Missler says this can also, from the Hebrew, be translated launcher. And so I thought, man, that fits better. I will smite your launcher out of your left hand and will cause your missiles. Arrows can be also translated from the Hebrew word there, missiles. And so I will smite your launcher out of your left hand and will cause your missiles to fall out of your right hand. The Lord is going to do that. And only 1/6 of all these allies coming against Israel will be left alive. And so this is serious business. When the fury comes up in the Lord's face, watch out. And I think this can kind of sober us too, can it? Man, if you decide to get in a spat with the Lord like Jacob did, you might be limping the rest of your life after that battle's over. Did you know that Jacob limped the whole rest of his life after wrestling with the Lord because the Lord put his hip out of joint? Oh, man. So we want to steer completely clear fighting with the Lord. These guys are fighting with the Lord, and they got decked. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people. This is verse 7. Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, says the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. The Lord speaks about it, it happens. And so that's why we're sobered today about these thoughts, especially with Putin and Iran getting together. And especially with the threats that continue to come to Israel, and now the whole United Nations standing against them. Man, we're so close. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and or launchers and missiles and hand staves and spears, and they shall burn them with fire for 7 years. So in my mind, this puts this battle at the beginning of the tribulation period. And then in verse 29, verses 28 and 29, I think kind of confirms that. Let's read verses 28 and 29 of Ezekiel 39. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen or the nations, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither, now this is important verse, neither will I hide my face any more from them. You know, in Romans we're told that blindness is happened in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that says to me, when God raptures the church out of here, the Gentiles, and takes them home, that is when he will not hide his face anymore from Israel. The blindness will be gone. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, and they become the witness now instead of the church per se, but as people are saved, the church grows again, says the Lord God. And so we're told clearly in Revelation that 144,000 baby Billy Grahams will be set free to preach the gospel. Jewish people, yeah, I like to say it that way because they all love Jesus and they're just filled with the Spirit. And there's 144,000 of them. And they go forth preaching the Word of God. And the Lord is not hiding his face anymore from the Israelis. Oh, no. But he's poured out his Spirit upon them. And so it kind of says to me, at the beginning of the last 7 years of history, this battle will happen. And the church will be zapped out of here. Thank God. Hasta la bye-bye. I'm glad the skylight's there. And so we just get zipped out of here before God's wrath falls on this earth in that last 7 year period. And the Antichrist enters in and gets decked at the end. And so there it is. It says in Romans 11:26 that all of Israel will be saved. The whole enchilada, the whole banana, all of it, all of Israel will be saved. Those that make it through the tribulation period will be there to receive their Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer comes out of Zion And that's actually in Romans 11:26, with all of Israel will be saved, will come, and they will not have sin anymore. They will just be blessed and ministered to and taken care of. And God will be there and be their Savior. At the end of Revelation 12, it says that they will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Very clear, very straightforward. Revelation always works in with all these things. So with that, let's just end today. Is it time to end? It's 10 after 8 right here. This has been this way for months. I think somebody's afraid to get up there and change the battery. It's probably me. Anyway, there's a brother that said he's going to do it this week, so we're okay. But what time is it? Oh, it's perfect. Look at that. God's the perfect timer. Let's just look at these last scriptures in Revelation 21, verse 5. I'm sorry, I'm kind of being a little bit giddy because I preached this last sermon. I was very sobering, but I don't know. On the other hand, I have joy about this because I know my God is in charge. He's doing what he wants. You know, I heard this saying this week that has stuck with me. There's no panic in heaven, just plans. That's deep. Think on that deeply. There's no panic in heaven, just plans. God's got this plan. And guess what's going to happen? God's plan for man. And he has plans for us, not for evil, but for good, that we might have a future and a hope. And that's just the way it is. And I'm going with that. Yeah, that's a good one to go with. So let's read verse 5 in Revelation 21. This is when it's all over. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Well, that little clause jumped out at me this week when I read it, because that's exactly what Jesus said in the movie The Passion, and I loved it. And there's a part where Mary comes out, and it's not really in the Bible, so it probably didn't really happen, but Mary comes out to the cross while Jesus is carrying his cross up the hill to die. He falls down. And his mother comes out to him, and he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And I thought, man, that sounds like that is in the Bible, but where is it? I found it. It's right here, Revelation 21:5. "Behold, I make all things new." So that was biblical, and our friend put that in the movie because it's the Word of God. "Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Everything that God says is true and it's faithful. It's going to happen. So as we read about Russia, Iran, this is their end. This is where they're going. And we can count on it. So it's very comforting, isn't it? When we see Putin on TV and we get a little nervous, there he is. Well, you know, it's not going to be good for him. There's an old song, "I Wouldn't Want to Be a Cossack Down Jerusalem Way," from the Maranatha Music guys from years ago. "Wouldn't want to be a Cossack down Jerusalem." No, man. Whew. So, "I make all things new, and he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha, I'm the beginning, and Omega, I'm the end." The beginning and the end. "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things." I really am going to enjoy whatever that means, to inherit all things. It's like our dad is the richest dad ever. And he says to us as sons and daughters that we're going to inherit all things. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And so to have Christ living in us is the whole answer. It's the whole story. It's the whole wisdom of God's plan, because he knows that this place is an evil present world. That's a scripture. To deliver you from this present evil world. and it is evil. You can't trust anybody. It's amazing. What's the Lord say? Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And the second part's hard because you want to defend yourself, you know. But you know, it does no good to rant and rave. It does no good to get upset and out of sorts. God's plan's going to happen. And you know, we're just in for the ride, brothers and sisters, and He wants to encourage us about that. So I'm so glad. I'm so glad for the Lord, aren't you?
Amen.
Yes. I've been ending the services with God is so good lately. God is so good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Let's pray together. So Father, thank You, Lord, for this time of prophecy that we've had through these couple of weeks. And thank You so much for Pastor Bill last night, Lord. It's just such a blessing. And he just got so studied up on that, Lord, and it was really wonderful. And so bless him for that, Lord, and bless each prophecy that we've had, Lord God, to just sink down deep in our souls. Because You are Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, are the Spirit of prophecy. Yes, You are. And so we accept You. We accept Your prophetic word, hook, line, and sinker. All of it, Lord. And we rejoice in it. And we just want to live with it and be, Lord, hopefully looking for You. Thank You, Father. Bless You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you and give you a great day in Him. And may you always be somewhat, dwelling in the fear of the Lord, because these things are heavy. But at the same time, may the joy of the Lord just overflow your life, because you know what? He's got it all under control.
Amen.
Yes, He does. So God bless you and keep you. Wouldn't that? Amen. Happy New Year. I wish that was the real one, you know. God bless you guys.